All right. Good morning, good afternoon, and good day. Happy February to the Dad Timeout Show. Listeners around the world, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. We are just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough, are not work in the entertainment industry. We're not parenting experts, but we listen to them, we interview them, we read what they have to say, and we report back to you, I don't know, whether it works or not. We see how we're doing as well. It's a place to put your feet up or down and relax and listen to us do the legwork, research, and reading. All articles, interviews, and show notes are now available on www.dadtimeoutshow.com after each show. And we are very interactive with our listeners, so if you could like us, subscribe, leave a review, we'll be forever grateful. And please follow us on the gram, where we are most active. In tonight's show, of course, the dads will kick off with a little catch-up, a little post-Valentine, post-NFL season chat, a little February chatter, then they'll move on to Parents Funny Tweets of the Week, then on to smart articles by smart people. Tonight's article is from Gary Vaynerchuk, of all people, Gary V. It's a little bit older, 3 years, but it's still pretty good stuff. We're going to discuss that, and that is four parenting ideas no one else is talking about. And then finally, we'll wrap up with a part two continuation on a quick quiz on house cleaning, because part one was, oh, so successful. And then finally, things that make us smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, my favorite eighth grader is in the house tonight in his new hoodie, the California road style. What's your name, sir?
Hi, my name is Landon.
Your voice seems to have deepened this week. Is there a reason for this?
I don't know.
All right. Could you deliver the joke of the week, the dad joke of the week, please?
All right. Why did the whale turn blue?
Why did the whale turn blue?
Because it saw the ocean's bottom.
It says it saw the ocean's bottom. That is fantastic work. All right, I'm going to let you get in the house and take care of the new puppy, which would also be a topic on the show. Dad Timeout Show coming up next. Thanks, Landon.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, here they come around the corner. The counter's finally working.
Hey,
redo.
Should we tell them
this is, see ya.
This is take two? Should we tell them? They don't know.
We hadn't done this for a while because we've all been so busy that I'm a little rusty. Yeah.
How long did we talk thinking that it was recording? Was that about four minutes?
45 minutes. Enough for Chris to get food poisoning.
You've been talking for an hour.
You've been talking for an hour.
Sorry.
So, welcome to February. Well, it's going to be February, March, coming down the pipeline.
That's what's next, yeah.
A lot going on. We've all been traveling and doing all sorts of stuff, but I'll just take on the elephant in the room since a lot of the listeners and friends and family know that... you know, we're all big fans of the NFL, National Football League, and I work for a particular team. And I will say, no matter what, and Ben, I thank you and applaud you for wearing the lid tonight. I have mine on, too. Yeah. Forever faithful is the two words that I want to convey. And what a ride.
Great run.
What a ride.
A lot of fun.
All my producer friends, family, talent, everybody that I see on a game day, everybody was on the roller coaster, and when it was big, it was big, and when it was not big, it was not big. But we all felt it, went through it, as did millions of faithful around the world, and we'll be back. That's all I'm going to say. So two words, forever faithful. Moving on. All right, so Valentine's Day was yesterday. How did you guys do? Did you do anything? Do you believe in the holiday, Ben?
I think you are going here. I don't. Is it any surprise that we don't do Valentine's Day?
But the irony is, you're sitting next to Valentine's King over here.
No.
We're 4 years in here. We know.
I was supporting my son as he got himself ready for his Valentine's Day date, and then
how old is he? Which one?
He's 17.
Oh yeah. Okay.
He went out on a date, and
cute.
You know, we were a part of that part of some of that situation. But yeah, of course, you know, flowers.
Mark, you got to land the plane.
Flowers, candy, God, cards, dinner. That's what's up? It's Valentine's Day, man. Got to show the love. So, forever Valentine.
All right.
Forever faithful. Forever Valentine.
I do think my wife is really cute with the kids, and I kind of get into it, but not. We're just like, we're so over holidays, and school is just crushing us right now. And we were just like, you know, just go out to dinner. So we just had a nice quiet dinner. And then I was cleaning out the Great Domain over there, and I actually found the very first Valentine's Day card my wife ever gave to me.
Aww. It was cute.
It's because I believe in Valentine's Day, Ben. Yeah. Mark probably has Bibles filled with knickknacks and cards and
scrapbooks, Michael. They're
inflatable
called
inflatable hearts, autographed air supply pictures everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm all out of love.
Well, so Valentine's. Well, that'll be the top of our tweets. I know it's Christmas silent, but we're going to let him slide on that one.
You're going to let him slide? Listen, I tell my wife, you want to give me a present, wrap yourself up in red lingerie. Otherwise, I'm not interested.
Ooh, hey.
Wow.
Hey, now.
Hey, man. We're all adults here. And if you're kids, you're listening. It's important.
Hey, now. So, on to a lighter fare, a slightly more G-rated paraphernalia. Why did I use the word paraphernalia?
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you know what? That's a sign of me getting old. I just use words sometimes, and I really hope they fit in the context of what I'm talking about. Or the other person doesn't know what it means, and they just let it slide.
Close enough.
You just say paraphernalia?
Yeah.
Wow. Hey. So you may have seen our new visitor out here. We got a new puppy duppy. Lucy is her name. Terror is her game. Shoes. I mean, we all know puppy stories, but this one, man, like our first dog was nothing like this little Terror. And she's like, I wouldn't say slimy, the stronger, but she can worm her way under, around, through anything to get what she wants. And then she's got this superhuman strength where she literally can, she'll pull a whole pair of my jeans or a giant Ugg completely down the house and just bring it in her drain.
I saw her yanking a pair of your pants with like a belt on it, like around the house.
She does not discriminate. She just takes anything on. Could be wire. She pulled a lamp down the other day. She knocks the baby gate down. Like, she just doesn't care. So, long story short, so it is a playoff morning for me, which is very active both mentally, physically, and getting prepared for my job. And the children are all out and about with the mom. And then I get this picture of this beautiful, cute little baby gray face. And it's a French bulldog. If anybody knows French bulldogs, they have these little eyes. They kind of resemble rats, as Ben would say.
A very big one.
Yeah. So
they're adorable.
They are adorable, darn it. So they're like, what do you think? And I'm like, what do I think about what? Like, I'm in the house, like, literally, well, do I have this? Do I have this? Do I have my battery pack? Do I have this? My music, my Sharpies, my credential, my whatever. And they're like, well, we just to let you know, like, here's the story. And there's a family that they play the sport with that had breeds them. And so I don't think anything of it. I go away. I have a thing to do at the stadium, but I'm like, I'm in downtime after my rehearsals. So I'm just looking like, do two French bulldogs get along? I'm texting my wife that article. I'm texting her this. And then the next picture I get is the dog in our house. Oh,
no, that no so, sign off.
You didn't say no.
Well, no. No.
I mean, you were looking up articles. I mean,
I was sending her those. Yeah. Like, what do they eat? Do they get along? Will they bite each other?
That's a passive yes.
I don't know. So I'm like, yeah, let's just see, thinking, no way, this is happening. So I guess the family probably, like, they listen to the show, so I'm not going to make fun of anything. The family brought her over to introduce her to see if they got along. Oh. But, you know, it's like driving the car off the lot, test drive. Yeah. Like, you're screwed at that point. So then they took her away. And then my wife's like, so what do you think? Now, let's flip to the backside of the game.
Doesn't sound like a question.
Insane playoff game. We come back from God knows what score.
Oh, that.
The crowd explodes. Yeah. The family, the 49er family explode.
This is the Lions game, right?
No. It was that one or the one before. Green Bay.
Okay.
So, naturally, you know, with that euphoric run, I come home, I start popping wine.
Get 10 dogs.
And I'm like, you know what? Just go ahead and get it, honey.
Let's do it.
I want 10 dogs. I want them here on my porch.
We should have named her 49er because.
Something.
McCaffrey or something.
Well, McCaffrey.
We thought about that. Well, and then.
Kittle's a good name for a dog.
Yeah, Kittle? Debo?
Kittle's a good name for a dog.
Then it was funny because I didn't want the dog. Tied to, anyway, there's a lot of funny stories around. So the reason we actually got the first one was, I think I told this story before. Oh, geez, we're 80 minutes in.
It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
It's good stuff.
So cut what you want.
We had these corgi races on the football field, on the 50-yard line. We had like all these like six corgis lined up, and then they'd race toward the goal line, and people go crazy. I think there's a lot of wagering in the stands. Like, I'm only kidding. Like, there's no wagering on dogs. But there's a lot. People really get into the dog races. It's like one of the highlights of the year. And we had, at the time, we had two. There's 49ers use French Bulldogs as kind of like hangout dogs. And they're called the 49er Frenchies. And they roam around the office. And then they roam in the players area. And the players hang out with them. So they brought them out as guest referees. And someone took a picture of one of the guest referees on my lap. And somehow my kids saw it online. And they were like, oh, my gosh, what's that one? Oh, my God, it's adorable. We didn't have a dog at the time. So I said, it's finally time to do it. So there's a lot of 49er through lines and through all that stuff. I'm sorry, listeners. Maybe that's my cathartic way of signing
off.
Dude,
you do what you got to do, man. We're listening.
On the NFL
Just talk.
All right, so we got a lot of the gram action going. I always like to thank those folks, but there's really no need. We jumped up hugely, big, giant, fun, but I can't even pull it up. So let's just thank
Big Giant Fun
in
huge,
general.
Huge.
We're up to 2,500, and we're thrilled about that. And we thank all of our Instagram people. And that's where we do contact a lot of our folks and go back and forth. So if you ever want to reach out to us, we are Dad Timeout Show there. All right, coming up next, thanks for indulging my puppy stories, and we are on to Tweets of the Week.
Time now for the Tweets of the Week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, it's time for Tweets of the Week. Just double-checking to make sure we weren't going to do it twice.
Fine.
We got an encore.
Yeah.
Do you want more? All right, Tweets of the week, they're kind of all over the place because this month has been all over the place. Are you guys just getting dragged by your kids right now? Like,
yeah.
Is it that time of year, right?
We got school musical, golf team. We got leadership. It's just kids going to sleep at 2, 3 in the morning, wakes up for zero periods.
Because you have the big homework.
What's your least favorite month again? Is it June?
June seems to go on forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Which one? Which is the one you really hate, though? I can't remember.
I think it's June.
Yeah. you can't hate February too.
Your first guess nailed it.
Yeah. You can't hate February too. It's
all right. I don't hate. Well, I think I would have been better about February.
At least it's cold.
It's a short month.
It is a short month. It's only.
It's a leap year this year. Everybody.
Yeah.
Knows.
We did it today.
29 days this month.
Nice.
Really? That means there's 2 weeks left. Fun facts all over the place. All right, I'm going to start off with two Valentine tweets. Are they X's? Are they tweets? Are they threads? I don't even know anymore, but we're going to just roll them out, and then we'll roll into the randomness of the parent tweets of the week. From Krista Ballerina, my kid hasn't finished cleaning her room, but she did spend 3 hours constructing elaborately personalized Valentines for 5 of her classmates.
Yep.
Close. Actually, that is exactly...
Five closest friends.
Yeah,
she wouldn't go to bed. She wouldn't go to school.
Yeah.
Like, she was an hour late for school making Valentine's.
And then our school has, you know, of course, the equality rules. So nobody gets left out. So you end up making 37 of them.
And you're not allowed to address them. They have to just have your name and no one else's name.
Something like that, yeah. And then in the older grades, they forbid you to have a solo flight, but everybody goes stealth.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, actually. Yeah. That's always cute to watch. And then I'm like, because my little boy had a Valentine in seventh inning this year, and I was just like, what do you do? Like, or sixth, seventh inning. And, you know, it's the usual cute stuff. Chocolates and
all right.
I don't know if flowers are involved, but it's usually candy.
Playing the field a little
candy
bit.
Or
you got to get a mixtape.
Oh.
Old school. That's how I used to rock it.
Oh, a little Casey, you give Casey and JoJo.
You got to give them a Walkman because they don't have that.
Oh, yeah.
Mark. Why, Mark?
He's hurry up, man. Rusty on the board.
So I'm even rusty on the effects tonight. Rod LaCroix. That's where I'm at every year. 99% of arguments on Valentine's Day start with, I thought we agreed not to get each other anything.
Yes.
And then you're always wondering, did they? And are you going to be at the table and you're going to feel like a dog?
It's better to be the one giving and not getting. Just be safe. Get one. Get some candy or something.
I don't really care if I get anything. It's about the feeling.
My wife and I's first week together, we were getting to know each other. One of the clinchers for me was that we both said we don't like Valentine's Day. So it's been for 20 years.
True love.
20 years on. Wow. And we mean it. We mean it. It's so nice to not have to worry about it. Hate it.
So no mixtapes for you.
Just red lingerie.
All right. This is from at Camel Crushin. Flowers for Valentine's Day are cool, but what she really needs is windshield wiper fluid.
And blades.
Camel Crushin. Why isn't it he? He needs windshield wiper fluid. I love windshield wiper fuid. I waste it, too, and my wife's very frugal with it.
Really?
Oh, I am just.
I pulled the. It's really cheap. It's really cheap.
Yeah.
You know? She's like, zit, 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 zit.
Really?
She's a
it's
pulser.
It's the same thing with a thermostat.
She pulses.
She does. She pulses the windshield.
Come on, let it flow.
I'm like, yeah.
Just go get your car washed.
Oh. Says the.
Well, sometimes you just need the fluid, man.
It's 3 cents a squirt.
You have to do it once in a while, otherwise it gets plugged up. Especially when it's cold.
Chris is like counted it. It's 3 cents a squirt.
Yeah,
it is.
Right?
Right.
It's not free. We ration it.
Three. Jeez. We ration it out.
3 cents a squirt.
All right. I think that's it for Valentine's tweets. The day after Valentine, we will release this for another week. But, hey, who's counting? This is from at Dad at Law. One of the most challenging parts of parenthood is being caught off guard by those tough questions about life. Like this morning when my 13-year-old daughter asked me, do dogs sleepwalk? The reason I put that in there, my kids were in a conversation so beyond me last night at the dinner table, I literally just had to check out. And I'm usually like the guider.
Topic.
Oh, my gosh.
I checked out.
It was one of those rogue questions that they just think about.
Oh.
And the boy that you just met out here for the first time.
He's a man.
He's got like 50 of these ready to fire at any given time.
Random facts?
Like, if the blank is the blank, then why does the blank blank?
Mm. Oh, you got it. Yeah, that's just.
That sounded like a 70s game show, didn't
senseless,
it?
Senseless, yeah.
Match game.
Good stuff.
But yeah, it's always fun when kids ask random questions. All right. This is from at CH Happiness. Secret to peaceful parenting is to never tell your child the plans for the day.
That's actually a pretty good one.
I don't know. If I don't, my kids get really stressed, actually. We're the opposite. Yeah, we have to give them very.
Do you ever just take them, though, as a surprise?
Doesn't work. No.
My dad, when I was, I remember one of the fun things he used to do was we'd get up at whenever, and my brother and I would jump in the car, and we'd get out of the driveway, and we'd get down to the end of what they call a subdivision in the South, like a group of houses, and he'd go right or left, and then we'd be like, right, and then we'd get to the interstate, and he'd go right or left. And then we'd make the decision.
Awesome.
And then he had mapped out in his head somewhere he wanted to go either way, and that was the surprise way. So
that's
we
kind of cool.
Dictated our thing. I don't do it too often because mine are a little like yours, especially
we want to know.
Especially my guy. He needs to know agendas.
Yeah.
My little girl is better at it because she knows there's probably always something decent coming.
Yeah.
Like, hey, come on with me. Just get in the car. She knows something good's at the other end of the pipeline. But I did it to him Saturday. Go back to 49ers again. I did it Sunday morning. I said, Landon, look, come with me just because Kiki had a show.
So you were going to go off and do your Choose Your Own Adventure drive?
No, I didn't have time for that because the game was
on. Did you see what he did?
Oh, he's about to tell us.
Well,
I follow you, MK.
Ben's not aware of social media.
I heard of it.
Valentine's Day nor social media. So I just took the kiddos over to Kezar Stadium, which is where the football team played in the 50s. And it's still in San Francisco. It's a beautiful place. And I brought parts of my mascot costume from when I used to be a mascot. And we all wore it, and we ran around the track, and we threw stuff around.
The boots.
Wow. That's
very Instagram-able.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then I told them all the stories on the way in, and then we went down to the second ballpark they all played in, which was Candlestick Park, which is now demolished, but they still have kind of an homage on the fences. Wow. It's all rolling fields now. But I would show them pictures. I'd be like, "This was right here, and this happened over there."
Dang, dude.
Take me next time.
Any football fan, any state, any city, college or pro, you know, you could do the same stuff.
Yeah, you should charge for that.
That's why, like, I was following what you're doing on Sunday, and I was like, yes.
I would pay money to dress up in the
mascot. I was all about it.
Well, I don't have the whole costume. I only have the, boots that fell apart on me. No, I couldn't keep the head.
Oh, okay.
You could charge $50 for 5 minutes for someone to put that on, like all the tourists, and go to Kezar.
I'm sure there are people that's their
shoes are literally duct taped. They fell apart after one of the games, and they ordered new ones, but I kept the old ones that fell apart. And they look like they're from the 90s. All right, anyway, all right, final tweet, I guess, since I droned on about the puppy for an hour. This is from, we could do two, because it's kind of funny. This reminds me of Ben. That's why I put it in. This is from Rob LaCroix, one of the funniest guys on Twitter, period. When I was younger, the closest thing we had to the X Games was speeding through the toll booth while lobbing exact change into the basket at 50 miles per hour and trying to beat the light before it turned green. Oh, see, you don't get that because you're Californians.
Yeah, we hand over the money. There was no basket.
No.
There wasn't a basket.
I've been on the turnpikes.
Oh, yeah. Not in California, though, but like.
No. Yeah. On the East Coast, yeah.
Yeah. That was a big deal. If you could, because that was when you were a kid, if you were allowed to throw the change into the basket, that's when you
what
knew
a disaster,
that.
Though, if you miss the nickel, if you miss, it bounces and it doesn't
can't.
Go up.
You can't.
What do you do? Get out of the car?
It stays down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a
The Godfather. That's probably what happened to Sonny.
What there was a slagboom. I can only think of the Dutch word slagboom. The pole that goes down.
Oh yeah, the old slagboom.
What's it called?
The pole.
I know, but
that's called a slagboom.
Slagboom. But what's the word in English?
Gate.
The gate.
The pole that goes down. What is the word,
man? I don't know.
Just a pole.
Yeah.
I like slagboom.
Whatever.
Slack bomb.
There's no words in English for things. Some things.
Fairgate.
Okay.
He just made that up.
I swear.
This is fascinating conversation.
I think we've lost 500 listeners.
No, dude. All the Dutchies just tuned in, bro.
Slack bomb.
Wow. All right. Final tweet then. From @sarcasticmommy4. Trying to binge watch a show when you were a parent. Takes 20 years, apparently.
That's so true.
Man.
I always say this because Ben's just like, how do you see all these movies? And he sounds so angry when he questions me.
I want to binge watch. I've never...
How did you even watch that already?
I've never pulled off a binge in my life. I can't wait.
How? When?
What?
Attention span.
It's not about that. It's about time.
There's no time.
It's about time.
I don't have time.
I finally got through one series. I felt like a champion.
And when
the last show ended, I was like, what am I going to watch next? It might take me like a year to watch it all. But.
So we have a hard time because we have three different age ranges, and the fourth grader is just not up to par yet. So we've been trying to bring back family movie night, but that's about as far as we can get.
Like Herbie and...
Yeah, we will do like an E.T. or a Sandlot. Mm. We did, The Martian, the Matt Damon movie.
A lot of F-bombs.
Clean enough, yeah. My middle watched it, my youngest.
It's a great movie, though.
But yeah, it's a great movie, right?
Yeah.
There's so many for everybody. just got to take some digging.
But we've done them all. Remember, we went through a pandemic. I think I watched them all 4 times already. Mm-hmm. Every time I get on the Google or Common Sense Media, they're like, they drop top 20. I'm like, oh, I've seen 18 of them. The binge watching, though, I feel like my wife and I used to bond when the kids were tiny because they'd be in bed by 9, 8, 7, and we'd sit down and we'd watch, insert.
3 hours of.
Yeah, I missed that. And I remember I was going back to the times that we, even pre-kids, and we used to bond over binge watching. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we'd sit there on a Game of Thrones or a Sopranos, like back then. But yeah, must see TV. Like Thursday night when Survivor came on, you're like, I gotta get in. Anyway,
cliffhangers.
We're content industry people. Please don't fault us for not reading more books. All right, coming up next, smart articles by smart people. It's by Gary Vaynerchuk, entrepreneur.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, as the Concord flies over on this nice California night, beautiful day today.
Yeah.
It was, I would say, low 70s out here. Yeah, sun was shining.
Right after rain.
I was cleaning the garage. You know why? Cleaning the garage because I'm going to be one of those TikTok DJs. I need 1,000 followers before I can go live, but then it's all going to catch fire. Watch. The big guy DJeth.
I'll follow you.
All right, so this is... You barely follow me on Instagram. You're not going to follow me on TikTok. This is 4 parenting ideas no one's talking about. It's a little older, but when I was looking today, I thought it was kind of interesting. I think it covers some stuff, and I thought it was an interesting POV versus a lot of the stuff we read. So I'll just kick it off, and we can discuss. In the past year or so, I've been exploring the topic of, we don't need that. All right, number one. These are his perspective. Gary Vaynerchuk, if you know or do not know, is a businessman, kind of a self-made millionaire guy, Vaynerchuk Media, all that stuff. I enjoy him. I think he's tremendously positive, and I don't buy into everything that goes out, but, like, I think he's a pretty cool, fun guy to watch, and I love this story and how he worked in wine in the back of his dad's store and all that good stuff. So it's from him, but he admits he's not a parenting expert. But he says, the difficult conversation parents need to have with their kids. The kids' life is your kids' life. They're the ones ultimately in charge. Sure, there are a lot of other important people like parents that surround them, but ultimately it's their life. That's why I'm pushing kids so hard to do what they want to do, even if it goes against what their parents want. My intent is not to get kids to be... Oh, so he's saying what he would give his advice. I got it. My intent is not to get the kids to be disrespectful. It's actually the exact opposite. I want kids and parents to have incredible long-term relationships. And if a kid is living their life to win on his or her parents' terms, they're going to have resentment later in life. Realize they're probably not that happy. And it's going to take happiness down for both parents and kids.
It's very much an age-specific conversation, though. I almost read the article. But it's very age specific discussion, right? I don't care what my 5-year-old wants. I do care what my 15-year-old wants, right?
Right. Well, let's get to the four hints or whatever he's got.
Sorry.
Number one.
It was a good article. I did read it.
You want to do a 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yeah. Let's do the first one.
Can you get out of that jacket? You need some.
Well, that was it. I was trying to buy time. Stuck
everyone. He's going to give up.
Nobody caught the.
Oh, you putting it on? The wrestling.
All right, that's the official start. So, number one, allow your child to feel like they can achieve what they want without handing out 8th place trophies.
Totally.
In a nutshell, it doesn't matter if your kids want to be music producers or basketball players or anything else. As a parent, creating permission is an important idea. If you as a parent say, yes, you can do this, it's a big deal that will make a huge difference in how much they believe in themselves. That's how his mom treated him. But at the same time, I balance out that with not handing out 8th place trophies. If your kid wants to be producers and they put something out on YouTube and everyone says it sucks, you look at them and say, the market said you suck. Let's try again. It's a balance between having blind faith in them and their abilities, but at the same time, letting the results be the results. Stunning to me how many parents do the reverse. So many tell their kids that they probably won't be a great soccer player, but tell them they did a great job when they go on the field and lose 8-0. Oh, Ben, this is like right up your alley.
So far, I'm
I see you grinning over there.
I cannot stand good job.
When I read this article, I was like hoping you read it because like number one is so on target. It's like,
no, I like this guy.
Let your kid run free, and when they trip and fall, pick them up and let them run some more. And if they're not going to be a number one, then sweet, but let them try. And if they suck, then, you know, try something else.
You got to win.
Yeah. I mean, it's, go on. You were in the middle.
No, you're fine. Yeah. It's the same with my kids. And, like, when my boy was making YouTube videos, stop motion, and he was doing – how to draw videos and things like that, and he would get 35 on one and maybe 1,000 on another, but it wasn't the numbers that you see all these mega kids getting. And I'm like, dude, everybody starts at zero followers, and if that one doesn't work, pivot and make it. And you know, I mean, just keep going. Like, there's no reason not to keep going.
Everybody starts at first, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, at some point, it's apparent if there's no talent.
Well, yeah. Well, that's right. I agree with that too.
But that's when, like you're saying, that's when you pivot away from, like, you know, maybe this sport or maybe this activity isn't your jam. Let's try something else. It's that flavor that you keep trying to instill that brings them to the next thing.
But that part about not praising them when they do bad in a game, that I'm all about it. I cannot stand. Yeah. Good job.
No, how did I do? Well, you didn't have your best game.
Yeah.
I mean, why not be?
Well, you lost 12-0. Jack, I don't know what to tell you.
How do you think you did?
Let's go eat.
A lot of these coaches, though, too, with the positivity and the go ahead.
It's not bad. I think it's a balance, like he's saying. Like you know, I think that my philosophy tended to be on the opposite side, where we were always saying, like, if you try hard, you should win. You'll get better if you put in the work. And if you keep putting in the work, you'll improve. And, like, that kid worked harder than you, so next time you work harder.
Yeah.
And if you lose, that's
totally
just, you know, like a kick in the pants a little bit.
Well, Pat Summer used to say that. I'm going to paraphrase. I don't know exactly what she said, but she said something to the effect of, you may be more athletic than me, but you're not going to outwork me.
Yeah, Mamba mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, the balance is where I'm at, too. Because I do believe, like, we've talked about this on other shows. But you got to give it a shot, give it a couple shots, work on it. And if it's not your cup of tea at the end of the season completion project, then maybe change your canoe area, roll down a different stream. It was encouragement balanced with practicality is where he landed on this. It's important to create friction between the two and put the kids in a good position to win. Number two, drum roll. I don't even have a drum roll.
Pushing random.
I see this so often, it makes me want to, and the heat miser and his head explodes. And stop using your kids' successes to fix your own insecurities. We saw this with Hollywood parents and the college scandal that happened. Parents paid for their kids to get into the best colleges. A couple of huge problems with this from Gary's perspective. When you do something like that, you mess your kids up. A lot of people talk about how bribing college to get a seat for your kid takes away from seats from other kids. But the kid who got the seat through a bribe also gets messed up for a lot of reasons. Creating fake environments for your children. They're showing that you care about what other parents think about the children more than the actual success of their children.
Well, and thinking you know what's best for them when, you know, perhaps not getting into that college was the best thing that ever could happen to them. And you won't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We try to fabricate what we think is good for our kids sometimes, and that's that.
It's hard to pull out, though, their success results without you feeling responsible that, hey, I've guided them and I've been parenting them, and so when they fail, I have some hand in, like, had I done this or something.
Everything happens for a reason, cliche, but there's a lot of truth in it. Like, you didn't get into your number one college choice, well, then they're – I'd say there's a reason, and there's probably a blessing behind it.
I don't know. At the same time, you can be the best parent, but everybody's an individual, and as you parent individuals, their capacity to be taught, trained, moved is on them. And so if you put your valiant effort out and your kid isn't where you would hope they are, understand that as an individual, maybe they're being the best they can be. And then again, that number, like number two, was a big one. Cause I'm like, yeah, like I'm not going to put like, you know, I wanted my senior to play sports all 4 years because I only played sports 1 year, and I thought that I missed opportunities because I didn't continue. Now, I played in bands and did other things. Anyway, the point is that I learned at one point, like, you know what? So whatever I didn't do is not his trip, it's my trip. And so he does what he does, and wherever that dart hits on the dartboard is where he's supposed to be. It's not up to me.
Number three, by the way, my child is fun. Can I just share a text coming in right now? Mm. She's down at her rehearsal, which let out a little early, which of course makes father nervous because she's in another town at a theater. So I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, eating a quesadilla. She's like, might get some ice cream. The night is young.
Oh, is it?
Got invited to a fraternity party.
Uh-oh.
She's right. A sophomore.
No, high school. No bueno.
In high school.
She's breaking
no,
you in
she's
early.
Just busting me. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
funny. The night is young.
Yeah, you see how our family rolls, though.
Gosh.
All right. Number three, react instead of force. Mm. All right. My parents were unbelievably supportive of my ambitions, but they were never forced me down any path. There's a big difference between the ideas of reaching and forcing that a lot of parents don't get. Reacting means giving your kid permission to explore. It means giving your kid some rope.
We talked about this a lot. The push, they should be pushing you and you should not be pulling them. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the react is, oh, cool, okay, we'll do that, that's versus, the, like, you need to go do this. This
that's is, them pulling
this
you.
This is your path. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
we should no, never push them. They should pull us.
Yes, that's exactly what that is.
Yeah, again, I think it goes back to the balance thing that you mentioned. Yeah. You know, you kind of let their canoe go down the stream, and if it needs help, you encourage that help. But then if it runs aground and they're just not there or not into it, again, we've talked about this part, like after the season or after the play or after the insert school group here, they're really not into it and they're not happy about it.
It's a dead end if you push them, man. Dead end.
Yeah. Why is it? I feel like I have a heater on. You did. Oh, my invention's working.
What?
Nobody can see your invention.
Oh, what that's right. The umbrella that lights up with solar. Oh,
it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I'll always have the image of Ben, Peter. Who was the third?
Me.
Chris. Under, huddled raining. Under this during the rain.
It was a big rain.
Yeah. So, Chris, did you want to say something? You looked down at your phone like you had notes or something.
I do. We've kind of talked it out, but, you know. Again, like I think that if, like you're saying, that if they sign up for a commitment and they're going to do this for the season, yeah, then the pushing comes when they need it and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't. It's like, no, you committed, so we're going to follow
that's
through
different.
On our commitment. So.
Yeah, once you make the commitment, I mean, you know, my 9-year-old didn't want to play baseball this year, and I'm like, okay, that's, you know, you're going to do something else, but, and I like baseball, and I was hoping he was going to continue, but. If
that's always where I'm at, too. It's like, I don't mind if you take that off, but I want you to do something else to pick up that void.
Right, right.
For us, it was like, if you get to a certain level of, like, say, whatever you're into, and you want to get to that elite level, like, you know, like for golf, for example, if you look at all the best players, none of them are real, like, you know, they have every single one, the common denominator is they have the crazy dad. Sorry if anyone's listening, but you know who you are, but there's a crazy dad that... So let's call it pushes, you know, sometimes a little bit more forcefully than other times. But like that's what it takes to have a 11-year-old succeed at this elite level of competition just because it needs that level of support. You just can't do it without that. Okay, well, you got to practice an extra hour and because the kid's not really, you know, it's even if they love it. You know, they need that structure and discipline and all
yeah,
of that.
I yeah, think,
you
know. I see your point.
But I don't know that I've...
That's a rare, like I'm saying, in that upper echelon where you're trying to, like, I don't know, get a scholarship or D1 level. I don't know. Like, that's
I haven't seen that level of commitment with any of my children toward anything. Mm. So it's a challenge for me. I have, however, seen that level of commitment with other children where you see them like totally locked into whatever the sport is. And I think it's admirable. But I mean, as a parent, there comes a point where it's like, I don't want to just keep pulling you towards this. If it's not your jam, it's not your jam.
It's simple, man. If you're going to be a D1 athlete, it comes from the inside.
Yeah. Dude, exactly. Exactly.
And that's what I say, too. And I also believe in, like, trying as many things out as humanly possible when you have a window to try things out.
Yeah. Totally.
Unless you're an adult like me who keeps trying things out, many things out as humanly possible.
You have the rest of your life to try things.
Hey,
huh?
Kirk, like you, are you drinking your margarita? Can I have it?
You can have it.
Thanks.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, look, that opens up the can of worms into athletics and kid sports, and I don't want to go there, but if you go the other direction, basically the final sentence in his was, I have absolutely no intention of imposing anything on them, not even entrepreneurship, which is his specialty.
Yeah.
Number four, this is the one that I probably failed at the most out of these three. Stop judging micro moments that don't matter. Now, I don't say that in regards to my family. Stuff, we turn and burn so fast. We never hold grudges in this house. I don't bring up past. But here's where I failed. He goes, parents tell themselves, well, many of the things parents overemphasize or judge themselves for don't actually matter. Parents tell themselves they're going to go to every Little League game or never miss their kid's recital, yet they undermine their own self-esteem and happiness in other ways, or their self-esteem and happiness. Personally, I'm not going to be at every recital, not at every Little League game, nor do I feel the need to be. I care a lot more about being there for my kids when they really need me. I care about turning my kids into emotional ninjas who have enormous self-esteem, empathy, and know how to use adversity to their advantage. Hmm. Which is an interesting way of thinking about it.
That's interesting.
Because yeah. I always put and this is where according to this, I may have missed the mark. I don't know. I'd have to look at more on the actual subject. But
we're more on the go to everything. Like, right?
Because when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to look back and be like, man, I wish I went to that concert on the night of my kid's thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And realistically, parents are very busy, and I understand the one side of it. And I did understand his argument a little bit, right? Because if they're building up that emotional toughness and resiliency and stuff like that. But I, like you, Chris, I do love to be pretty much everything I can be because I know it's a very small window of life, and then it's gone.
I also felt like this is kind of the second thing about your own insecurities, driving your actions. But my parents rarely came to my stuff, and so I personally was like, that kind of sucks when I look out and they're not there. I'm on the plane, I have a part, and they're not there. And so I just kind of got a little resentful. And then, obviously when I had kids, I was going to overdo it by, sneaking out of work and going to the softball practice and drawing the lines on the field and just overdoing it. But
I had the same situation, and I felt like I needed to be there. And even recently, a major event that I really wanted to go to was happening, and it was also the night of my daughter's band and choir concert, and I had seen both concerts. My wife, however, had missed one of them, and because she, like me, wants to be at everything, she's like, we can't go to this event that we've been waiting years for because we need to be at my daughter's event. And we did. We went to her event, and I was bummed I missed my event, but as I looked at her face, seeing us in the crowd, I reminisced of being the kid who didn't see my parents' face in the crowd. And it was very worthwhile to me to have given up something that was important to me that I would have rather have done to be there to support her in her situation. So, but the part of the article is basically saying, don't beat yourself up if you can't be that parent. I think we just all are that parent.
I agree. I think that I don't care what Vaynerchuk says. I'm going to go to as many things as I can to.
The time is when you have
it's fun.
When you have older kids, you see how quickly the time passes. And
there are times that we do have to divide and conquer because there's only two parents and there's three kids doing three different things. And sometimes we'll go to A or B or C. What I mean? Like there's that. I'm not going to beat myself with that. But if it's something non-work related and it's even personal, concert tickets, and all of a sudden this happens, I'll take my kid and family anytime. And then, you know, it's funny because then the oldest one now is like, hey, you don't have to do this. I'm like, no, but I will.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, what else?
It really is.
There's nothing really more fun at this stage
of life. And when they get older, it's even more special because you know how you have very little time left of that experience.
They start doing the buffering automatically by doing that. You don't have to come and doing all this and all that. But like you said, my kid's gone, like oldest, and like no more. There's no more school plays. There's no more these softball games. And
yeah,
I mean,
kind of pining for those.
I love my wife's parents' model. They were, and this is kind of converse to what we're talking about, but sort of the same realm. When she was in high school, they had the hangout house. And there was no alcohol, but you could hang out there, let's say from 6:30 to 9, whenever, on a Friday or Saturday. They would always make nachos, and the kids would, like, play around the back. Anyway, so that became a norm back then. And the kids could go out and do their thing in different places, but it was kind of like a happy hour-ish kind of thing. Maybe, you know, 7 to 10 kids most. Fun. But what happened was... I witnessed this because, you know, that phase where you go to a ton of weddings because everybody's in that window.
Yep.
But every wedding we went to, her parents were invited to, meaning cool that parents. There was such a cool attachment between the kids and the parents, and it was no fence anymore. And it was all just friendships and fun and
generation
life.
Gap was closed.
Yeah.
It's family at that point.
Yeah. We're trying to work toward that. Yeah. If there's any sort of subplot to this.
Yeah.
As they get older and the events become less and less like say your son or your oldest son.
Well, that's exactly like my house was like Jen's growing up where all my friends hung out at my parents' house. And I want that same thing for my house. Although,
It's a little bit of a tangent, but I mean, that's kind of,
It's a beautiful thing though.
It's kind of where I'm working because you put one above, you know, Chris always talks about his happy calendar where, you only have
you only got 11 softball seasons left.
24 more Easters. And
yeah.
But I think about that with 18, right? In theory, when, my oldest is creeping up. Fast and, depending on where she goes to school, then the second one and the third, and most parents, a lot that listen maybe have gone through that. So. Anyway, a lot to think about, a lot to talk about. Good article. I'll put the link up for our listeners. And we will move on to the second part, the quiz. How clean is your home? Coming up next.
Oh, it's quiz time! Parrot quiz! Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, I thought I'd take it a little lighter on you guys tonight since I told the 9-hour puppy story at the top of the show. How clean is your home? We did this a couple weeks ago, and people were commenting on the gram about their scores on the cleaning quiz. I thought it was interesting.
Dirty.
So this is only 8 questions. Only 8 questions this time. How clean is your home? This week, we're going to test your knowledge on germs and cleanliness.
Heck yes.
Oh, dang it.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Good margarita.
Question number 1. It is often said that kitchen sponge is one of the germiest things in a home. Researchers have found how many types of bacteria on a kitchen sponge?
100.
A, 362.
Ooh.
C, 32. B, 1,722, or D, 278?
She's 78.
What a weird question.
It's 1,000.
At least. She's 78.
I'm going 1,000.
It's a hard question, but...
Oh, with 32.
In 2017, a study from a university in Germany, researchers found 362 different species of bacteria and 45 billion bacteria per square meter on a sponge.
Wait, a square sponge is not close to a meter.
Per square centimeter.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's not Dutch University, it's Duke. A 2022 study from Duke University found that sponges are better incubators for bacterial growth than petri dishes.
Dude.
Wow.
That's gross.
And petri dish. That's crazy. That's
so better gross. Get rid of that scrub daddy and get
stop
a new one.
Using the sponge to clean my teeth and
wash your underarms.
So disturbing. Hey.
All right, question. I told you this one's kind of gritty.
Oh, gross.
When people do spring cleaning, what parts of the house do they typically prioritize? A, bathroom. B, garage, C, basement, D, kitchen, E, bedroom, F, family room, or G, closets.
Garage.
Say bathroom. Spring cleaning?
Garage. No, because it's a depth thing.
Garage.
And
garage.
The garage is a depth thing.
Interesting. Yeah. According to the American Cleaning Institute,
probably closet.
64% of people prioritize cleaning.
Toilette.
Kitchens.
Oh, okay.
Well, when they do spring cleaning.
I do every day.
That probably means like
deep
cleaning. The oven, yeah. Pulling out the oven, getting between
okay.
The microwave and
doing
the wall.
What I did on New Year's Eve, which is pulling out my refrigerator and cleaning the entire refrigerator. Yeah, buddy.
362 bacteria.
Here we go,
buddy. Crisper.
Mark in the pulling out of the refrigerator
yeah. Again.
Heck yeah. Always.
Well, the mark
just because you challenged it.
Which household item is often contaminated with E. coli and other bacteria?
Toothbrush. Toothbrush.
A. Toilet. B. Underwear. C. Cell phone. D. Reusable grocery bag. Or E. All of the above.
All of the above.
I would say underwear.
It's E. coli. All of the above.
Incorrect. Reusable grocery bags, ooh, which are rarely cleaned, can be tainted by leaking meat juice and then sitting hours in a hot car.
Yeah.
The perfect breeding ground for germs.
Dude, that's all we use. That's gross.
In a lot of these reusable bags, we find more E. coli and blank bacteria.
Gross.
Maybe that's why we don't get sick. My family's just walking Petri dishes. Mm.
Gerba suggests using cloth bags and washing them regularly in hot water.
Mm. Oh, just like
I feel like I break the law. I just get paper. Then I just recycle the paper.
Oh, yeah.
They don't recycle it, though.
We use carbon fiber bags.
Save that story for another day.
I bag the meat in plastic
bags. All right, question number four. What household products are not recommended as safe cleaners by the Environmental Protection Agency?
Yeah.
Bleach. A, bleach plus ammonia for cleaning clothing stains.
Definitely.
Yeah.
B, vinegar and water for a greasy stove.
No,
D, baking soda plus water for scrubbing toilets. Or C, borax plus lemon juice.
A. That creates toxic fumes.
Everybody says
fumes.
A.
The bleach and
wait,
ammonia.
Hold on. Borax? Oh, that's the...
No, boric acid.
No,
fine.
That's
fine.
Correct. You're all right.
It's bleach.
Everybody relax.
It's a pretty exciting one.
It's borax!
The EPA warns that bleach plus ammonia generates toxic chloramine gas.
Chloramine.
Yeah, everything else is safe. Number five, like most activities, cleaning burns calories. Which of the answers does not reflect the calories burned by a 150-pound person for 1 hour of the activity noted?
What?
You should double it. Tell me. Word.
Definitely.
I'm not 300 pounds. All right. A, dusting, 136 calories. Sweeping, 245 calories. Mopping or scrubbing floors, 270. Every time I see mopping, I think of moping. And the time you were calling him mope.
What?
No, you were calling him mophead instead of moped. You're like, hey, mophead.
Anyway. That's rude.
I don't remember this. I'm glad you
remember. We have to fight later.
All right. So which burns more calories? Dusting, sweeping,
scrubbing,
washing windows,
man.
Washing dishes.
Come on. Scrubbing.
Dusting is like
scrubbing.
Scrubbing the floor.
Definitely scrubbing. You're on your knees.
Sweeping burns 136 calories per hour.
That's not much.
No, but that's not the most, right?
Well, it says 245 calories. Most activities, yeah, sweeping. Sweeping.
Sweeping?
Sweeping?
Yeah.
No. Over mopping?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sweeping back and forth. Sweep, sweep.
Mopping back and forth.
Think of the Karate Kid, how strong he got.
Wax on, wax off.
He didn't get strong.
Went to it.
No.
We all know he didn't. Ralph Macchio didn't get strong in any way.
Obviously he did.
Gumpy ass dude.
Cobra Cry. Cobra Cry. all right, number six. Which of the bedroom did researchers find contains more germs than a chimpanzee bed?
Oh, Lord.
So picture a couple of chimpanzees. They get out of bed in the morning, and then you take their bed. Which
that bed's nasty.
Has more germs than okay. a chimpanzee bed?
Okay.
Laundry hamper, windowsills, mattress, sock drawer, or all of the above?
I think mattress, unfortunately.
I'm going all of the above again because we didn't get it last
hamper.
Time.
I'm going hamper.
No,
yeah, you're not going to like this, but it's, Ben's right.
Yeah.
Ooh, what is it?
The answer is a mattress.
Yeah,
mattress
I mean,
is gross. Yeah.
Number of bacteria found in chimpanzee beds is the number in human beds. Chimpanzees maintain cleaner sleeping environments than humans, which is 3.5% of bacteria coming from their skin, blah, 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 blah. It just gets grosser after that.
It does.
Right. Number seven, what percentage of households typically do spring cleaning every year? 84%, 60%, 78%, or 27%?
20. I'm going with 27.
78.
Oh, wow, really?
I'm going to go low, 27.
Yeah, 27.
Yeah. Mark says 78. Mark.
78.
78, wow. Minority once again.
You are correct, Mark.
I was thinking about my dirty bed. Oh, I
look, I'm correct.
Even, Mark's correct. Hold on. Wrong sound cue. Good job, Mark. 78% of households typically do spring cleaning annually, according to the American Cleaning Institute's 2022 survey. Final question. Some cleaning products release volatile organic compounds, gases that can be toxic or interact with other chemicals.
No good.
Potentially cause cancer. What cleaning supplies does the American Lung Association warn may contain volatile organics or other toxic substances?
That Simply Green stuff.
Yeah. These are really fun questions, aren't they?
Yeah, right. What a downer.
Oh my Fabuloso gosh. Stuff. Fabuloso.
Sorry, everybody.
You ever use that stuff?
I don't know what you're talking about.
A, aerosol cleaning products. B, air fresheners. C, rug and upholstery cleaners. D, furniture and floor polish. E, oven cleaners. F, all of the above.
All of the above.
I'm going all of the above this
time. I'm saying
time.
Aerosols.
All of them
yes.
may
they set me up.
Have harmful chemicals, so you got to be careful. Read those labels, boys and girls. Okay. All right, that is our clean quiz tonight. If you're still on board, coming up next, things that make us smile. It's time for things that make us smile. I'm happy that you three are here on this lovely evening out here on the West Coast. What makes me smile? What makes me smile so much right now? We're going up the coast with a bunch of families tomorrow. Funny families at that. and they make me laugh. So I'm looking forward to that little break on the California Northern Coast. Of course, we got the puppy. Makes me smile. My oldest daughter just finished a play called Wolves at her school, which is really, really, really intense and good. And the other two are in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Awesome. So I can't wait to see how that turns out. And then, you know, life in general. And I'm taking some half-full glasses after a long but incredibly memorable and heart-fulfilling season. So, yeah, all those things kind of make me smile. Mark?
Week trips to Carmel with my wife. That makes me smile. End of season sports parties with families that you like that you're not going to be able to see a lot after the season is over. That makes me smile. Valentine's Day makes me smile. Being with you guys makes me smile.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Ben doesn't like Valentine's Day.
I don't care. I love Ben, so that's all that matters.
We love you, Ben.
You know, we need some tension up in here.
I love Ben.
Okay, I guess sum up. Let's say winter camping when you all get all set up and as soon as the fire's going and you sit down after, you know, all that getting there, setting up, and then finally when the fire's going and you sit down.
That's a good
love
feeling.
Love that. And then yes. I'll say my little guy, my 7-year-old, got some glasses yesterday.
Yeah.
So cute. It just made me smile.
His hair's so long?
It's getting too long. It's past where I tried to get him to cut it. I tried for like 6 months. Now it's just like, he's a wild man. He's out there.
With glasses.
Yeah. He's just going to be, yeah. But he got glasses yesterday and it was so cute.
All right. Peacoat?
Oh, my dad had his 86th birthday.
Wow.
2 days ago. So we went out to dinner. He's doing well.
He's still talking to me?
Still talking to me, playing golf once a week. And then I'm really looking forward to my daughter coming home next week.
Yeah, man.
For the weekend.
You must be when you sing it. Yeah. I haven't heard you sing in a while.
Coming home for the week.
Can we put the rap video that you created on,
sure.
on our page?
On the page. Sure, why not?
Put it on there. We should do all of our alter egos and our other things. That'd be a fun little spotlight.
That would be interesting.
All of our other things.
Why do they say entertainment industry? Well, let's take a look.
Let's take a look.
Take a look behind the scenes. All right, listeners, thank you so much for bearing with us. Thank you for staying with us for so long.
Hello.
And we appreciate all of you, and we'll see you again now that the dust is settling from crazy parent life and NFL seasons, we will be on more regularly. We're the Dad Timeout Show, and we're out of here. Good night.
Love you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Timeout Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Timeout Show. And we're out of here.